Welcome to this episode of the WorkXO Culture Chat Podcast, where we explore the intersection of workplace culture and the future of work. We feature progressive leaders who intentionally manage their cultures so that you might also experience the power of doing the same. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Charlie Judy, founder and CEO of WorkXO, with yet another edition of the Culture Chat Podcast. We try to do this every 2 weeks or so. Really excited to have with us today Lotus Yan, who is a director, the director of HR and learning for Northwest Community Healthcare, a large medical and healthcare facility here in the Chicagoland area. And we're going to talk about something that has been on our minds and in our conversation collectively in the world of work for decades now, and that's flexibility. We talk circles around this topic, maybe even much of it lip service. And yet the futurists out there, those organizations that are really busting the traditional paradigms of work, have figured this out in a way that many of us have not. Lotus is going to help us explore some of the things like, how do we talk about flexibility in terms of integration, not balance? We're going to talk about how to make it more authentic and intentional and visible and vocal, and how do we customize it in a way that it speaks to the individual within our organization. And we know that that customization is more and more important as we build cultures that drive success. And that is, in fact, what WorkXO is all about: culture and measuring it and analyzing it and then helping organizations activate it. Find us, look us up. But that's not what we're here today to discuss. So we're going to start by letting Lotus introduce herself and say hello to the crowd, and we'll go from there. Lotus, welcome.
Thanks, Charlie. As Charlie said, I'm Lotus Yan, and I'm the director of HR and learning at Northwest Community Healthcare. We're in the suburbs of Chicago, Illinois. I actually started my career there as an intern and have grown my way through. So lots to talk about there. And I also did a small stint in my career in higher education. So two very interesting industries. But in addition to that, outside of my work, I'm so passionate about HR and learning. I also sit on the board for the Association for Healthcare Human Resources and on the board for the Association for Talent Development in Chicago. So really passionate about everything, work, life, HR, learning, and culture.
Awesome. That's great. And you know, as I've said before, we're so interested in having the real deal practitioners who are kind of living and breathing this stuff every day on this podcast, just because the experiences that they share are so much more relevant. And I know you've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So we're going to jump right into this one big question, as we always do. And let's see where the conversation flows. So this is what it is. How do you create a culture that allows for authentic work-life integration? Let's talk about that.
I love the question. And two things really stand out to me in your question, Charlie. One is integration, because you probably know I'd jump down your throat if you said work-life balance.
Right.
And because I think everybody's using that, and I do have an issue with that, because I don't think that's the direction we should be shooting for or the goal that we should have in mind. But the second piece is authentic, and I think that is so important when we're talking about work-life integration, because I think that's the number one thing we have to have in mind when we start strategizing around it, or when we start thinking about how do we incorporate that into our cultures. It has to be authentic. If it's just policies and words on a wall, it's just not going to work. And so I really think, in general, the way you start with that is a very authentic mindset, a very intentional mindset, and be ready to customize, meaning one size is not going to fit all in what you do to create work-life integration for everybody in your organization.
So this is a topic that we've been talking about collectively in the world of work for like decades now, right? I mean, there's this, it's so important. It's obviously increasingly important, and I don't think it will ever stop being increasingly important. Let's unpack this a little bit further. So you called out the two operative words. One is the integration and the other is the authentic, and each of those have tentacles. Let's talk about the integration piece though. Why is integration more important in conceptually otherwise than balance, which is the word that we've been using forever?
Absolutely. So I think that work-life balance, when you're talking about anything with balance, it implies that those things are separate. So it implies that our work is completely different than our life. And it is the way we used to work, right? We used to come to work, whether it's 8 to 4, 9 to 5, whatever your schedule is. And then once you're off the clock, you're off the clock and you begin your personal life. And that's the way work did work for so many years. And now, whether that's technology, multiple generations in the workforce, we can no longer work that way. And we're being asked to do more with less. There's just lots of work issues, right, that create this kind of work-life integration issue for leaders and organizations. And the reason that we want to be able to integrate that is because people don't just think of their work any longer as 9 to 5. Now, whether it's generational or technology, you have a lot of people who are having to take care of themselves, whether that's doctor appointments, etc., having to take care of their children, having to take care of elders. We have a lot of people now who are not putting their parents into homes, but they're taking them into their homes when they get old and taking care of them. So for all of these reasons, our schedules are really, really tight. And a lot of those things happen during the work hours, right? Your traditional work hours are, that's when the doctors are open, that's when kids are in school, and things happen that we need that flexibility. We need to be able to integrate those personal situations during our work hours. But then there's also that expectation that we are going to still get the job done. And the integration allows us the flexibility to do it when the time is right for us and when it can fit into our schedule, knowing we all still have a deadline to meet. So I think that's kind of the difference.
Yeah, well, I think it's important. And here's where I'll like maybe call a spade a spade. Like the idea that we have to be integrated can also mean that as an employer, there is no off time, right? Like, yes. Like yes. I fine. You can go home, but you also need to expect that I can reach out to you at any point, right? So how do you as an employer set the, I don't know if it's called guardrails or guidelines or what, so that we're all using the same definition, or at least have a common understanding of what integration really means?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, because I think the how is where organizations are struggling right now. And I'll take it to a very specific level for you. So I lead a team in human resources. And one of my employees, she's an HR business partner, and she and I, we're both working all the time, right? We don't carry an actual pager, but we can get pages to our phones because we're in healthcare and that's 24/7. And we really needed her to work on something one day. And she was home, and I knew that she had personal commitments that day going on, but I didn't know when. Called her, said, hey, we have this urgent issue. And she said, I can't right now. I need the next 2 hours. I'm still dealing with something with my kids. Can you give me 2 hours? I'm going to go home and I'm going to log on and we'll get it done. Absolutely. And so we need to be reasonable with each other, I think, is the key. Because I think what happens sometimes when you have this notion of work-life integration and your employer expects you to be available. Integration doesn't mean you're available 24/7. It just means that you have 24/7 to be able to get things done. And you negotiate that with your employees, and you have to allow them to negotiate that. That's the guardrail. They have to be able to say, here's what I can do, here's what I can't do, and you have to be okay with that as an employer. And if you set expectations up front, I think that helps.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I like the word negotiation, and we can probably come up with a couple of other words as well. But for me, the important part of that is that you're actually having a conversation about it. Like you have to, and you may have to do this on a one-on-one basis. Like it sounds like you've got some understanding even with your own team, right? Around what's within bounds and what's not. But I think setting out those expectations in a very clear way, and we talk about this in culture all the time, right? Like your culture has to help people understand what work-life integration really means. Like you ought to be able to point to it and go, oh, okay, I get it. Now I get it. Cause I see that, I hear that, I experience it.
Right.
And if we say it one way and we do it a different way, then all bets are off. So I think this bleeds in a little bit to authenticity. Let's talk about that a little bit. You mentioned it's gotta go beyond like a policy or words on a wall. Tell me more about what that means.
Yeah, so one way I've seen organizations do this, in fact, my organization still has one, is a work from home policy. Now, I'm not saying that everyone should go back and get rid of their work from home policies, but if that's all you've got going for you and that's all you've got to create a work-life integration, that's not going to work. A lot of times those policies, they have all these stipulations. And that's when I get a little bit concerned, because it'll say things like, you have to pick the 3 days of the week that you want to work from home, and all the other days you are here, there's no flexibility in that. Whereas a lot of successful organizations, where it becomes authentic, I think, is that piece I'm talking about is we all live real lives. We have real things that interrupt our work. And you can't plan around that, which is what a policy sometimes is asking for, is, okay, you can work from home. I'm going to give you this balance, right? But here are the stipulations to that. It doesn't account for what really happens in our lives. And that's an authentic piece that is often missing.
Yeah. You know, so I love this as well. So I agree with you. Like you can't dispose of policies. You need to have something that is the starting point.
Exactly.
Where you go too far is by trying to have that policy anticipate and contemplate every single possible situation that may exist under the sun. Because then you're not talking about work-life flexibility. You're talking about work-life control, right? So we have an item on our culture assessment. And we ask people to identify with how much this behavior shows up in the workplace. I can work whenever, wherever, and however I need to, if it helps me do my best work. Now that's probably like on one end of the spectrum of flexibility. Like if you got to that point, you'd be the most flexibly integrated organization in the world. And I'm not suggesting that every organization needs to get there, but understanding to what degree you're there and defining that is important. Like, how does that show up in your workplace? Tell us more about how you even give people permission to do this stuff.
Yeah, so I think that, first of all, do you know an organization that does all that? Because I want to go there. Don't we all?
Yeah, I mean, without getting going too far down a rabbit hole here, that behavior we find shows up in those organizations that traditionally disrupt the traditional continuously disrupt the traditional paradigms of work. We discovered several of them, and that was a really consistent theme. And these are the organizations that don't have stated work hours. they you know, we talk about normal business hours. There is no such thing in these organizations. They all trust each other to do what needs to get done when it needs to get done, but they trust them to do it in their own way. It's rare. It is not easy, but that is absolutely a direction in which some of these organizations are headed. I know your question was rhetorical, but I wanted to share nonetheless.
No, I love that because I think it's important for people to know that it's rare. And if you're not there yet, you're not alone in that. I think a lot of organizations are struggling with this. And back to your question, I think it starts with leadership. And you mentioned it, trust. And that's that relationship between leader and employee. That's how you, the leader has to give you the permission. If you don't, employees aren't going to feel like they can do something. That may be a sad truth, but a lot of employees won't, because that's culture. Trust is a piece of culture. You have it or you don't, or you're somewhere on the spectrum. But if trust doesn't exist in the culture and in that relationship between you and your leader, it's going to be very difficult to have an authentic work-life integration. And it's not just about saying, yes, you can work from home. It's almost that I'm giving you permission to do what you said in your survey, what your question is, work wherever you want, however you want, whatever you want, as long as the job gets done. And that implies that I don't need to ask you for permission every single time I would like to work from home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's great. So, but here's where I think your kind of firsthand on the ground in the trenches experience really comes into play. How do you coach a leader to trust at that level? Because I believe that most leaders really want to and maybe even intend to trust their employees at that level. But it's easy for stuff to get in the way of that. Do you have ideas? Have you seen things work? You know, how do I help the leader let go on this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not an easy thing. I think that one population is what you refer to, leaders who really want to trust their employees but aren't really sure how. And then there are some who will say things to me, like I've had this experience many times where I have a leader who says, but they can't be trusted, so why would I allow them to do that? And so we have a few different strategies that we work with. First of all, for some leaders, it can be as easy as giving them permission. You know, as an organization in an HR department, they kind of look to us to determine what they can and cannot do, just like their employees look to them. And for us, it's saying that, yes, you can trust your employees. You know them best. You know who's performing and who's not. Go ahead and do that. You do not need to micromanage everything that they're doing. But the complicated scenario is that second piece where you have leaders saying that they don't trust their employees, and that's the reason why they won't allow employees to work from home or have a more flexible schedule. And that's when we come in. We do a lot of coaching around difficult conversations, coaching up or coaching out, and dealing with performance issues. Because I think that's where we get caught sometimes. We don't want to have the difficult conversation, and we think that as long as they're right under our nose and we can see everything that they are doing all day long during those very specific work hours, then they can get better or nothing's going to go wrong or we're going to have more control over it. And what we find is almost 100% of the time that's actually not true. Mm-hmm. You continue to have issues and you get frustrated because you don't understand why I'm watching them, I'm telling them everything to do, and they're still not doing it well. Well, that's not motivating if I feel like you're over my shoulder all day.
Right. Yeah, it's the law of unintended consequences. And we keep beating ourselves. Well, we get caught in this trap of theory X. I mean, that's you know, been around, unfortunately, since, you know, the 50s and really the dawn of the Industrial Revolution. But this idea that an employee cannot be trusted and is intrinsically or is by design unmotivated. You know, I think that conversation with the leader who says they cannot be trusted to lead a flexible lifestyle or lead a flexible work arrangement or whatever you want to call it. The next question is, then why are they still an employee? I mean,
exactly.
Either they're not the right employee for your team, Or you're the problem, you know, you're the problem here, Mr. Leader, Mrs. Leader, whatever. There's this real, we got to get really careful about what we're suggesting because we end up kind of talking out of both sides of our mouths. I mean, like, right. Okay, so you trust this person to like serve our patients, but
right.
You don't trust them to go home and work. Like, you know, it's kind of crazy.
It is, absolutely. And I think that, you know, the other piece of advice that I give to the leaders who are just a little bit afraid of it is just try it. It's like anything else, right, that we do in our lives. Like, give it a shot. If it doesn't work out, let's brainstorm. Let's work together and have a conversation about how we make this work.
We need to use the what's the worst that can happen scenario much more in the workplace. Like, I mean, you know, it's the old, like, we're not saving lives. Well, in your case, you guys are saving lives, but you know, it, come on. I mean, so what
exactly.
Happened? And by the way, it's never an all or nothing proposition. So what, even if it fails one time, it doesn't mean it's going to fail every time.
Right? Exactly. Like,
how do we get better at making mistakes on this stuff? That's the only way you're going to figure it out. This isn't easy. There's no, if there were some recipe or program, like we could all like just copy it and we'd be done.
Right. We wouldn't even be talking about this.
We wouldn't be talking about it. Exactly. So you have to work at it, which I think is actually a really interesting conversation for a different time. I mean, we talk about all these things in theory and then we never put the work into it to actually making it work. Like we expect to flip the switch and it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't work that way. Nothing works that way when it comes to something as dynamic and complex as a human being.
Yeah. I think it's also education for our leaders. So that's kind of the soft skill side. But I think there's also another piece is I think sometimes leaders don't know how to do it and how to execute that because they don't know the tools. I think some companies and leaders are not educated enough on what's going to allow them to do this in a very seamless and efficient manner, right? For example, there's tools out there where you can do video conferencing. There's a million tools just for that, you know, because they get afraid then, right? How do I communicate with them when they're not here? Mm-hmm. How am I ever going to see them? How do we collaborate? Mm-hmm. How do we have meetings?
Yeah, that's a really, you know, and maybe this is a good, because we're coming up on our kind of 25 minutes here. It's a good flip to this conversation because we've kind of been focused on the leader and the pitfalls there. You know, HR, you can't just say we need to have more work-life integration. You need to be an agent and a facilitator of that. You need to make sure that those people who are out there waging this battle have the tools and the resources and, as Lotus says, the education to make it happen, right? I mean, that is something that we can really make a difference with. Maybe just talk for a second, Lotus, about the kinds of things that you all do, the resources that you use, the venues, the whatever that you use to help people think more about this stuff.
Yeah, so from a more technical perspective, we are using Skype for Business, which allows us to do instant messaging, video chats, meetings via the cloud, but it's within our network, so everything is secure. So we're a pretty big organization, so that's a great tool for us that works for us. But there's other things like Zoom that's out there. If you don't need the, you know, fancy stuff, you can a WebEx or a GoToMeeting are going to work great for most of your meetings. But there's a lot of creative tools out there now that allow for these things. In Zoom, for example, you can even do breakout sessions. You know, when you have a meeting and you want to break out and have some brainstorming sessions, you can do everything you can do in person online nowadays.
I think the collaboration tools are so important. And I'm glad that you brought those up. Okay, so this is a great conversation. It's one of those things that can go on forever and ever, and we could probably record several podcasts related to this topic alone. Thanks to our listeners that took the time to chime in and or download this podcast. today. Lotus, before you say goodbye or we sign off, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you and connect with you, which I, by the way, would encourage everybody to do.
Absolutely. Thanks, Charlie. Everyone can connect with me at odadvocate.wordpress.com. I write my blog there, and I'm also on every social media channel probably. So follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of the above. Would love to chat with anyone anytime on work or culture.
Great. Thanks so much, Lotus, for being here, for sharing your firsthand experience with work-life integration, something we should all be thinking about. Stay connected with us at WorkXO and our culture management platform. Thanks for listening to the Culture Chat podcast, and look out for more episodes coming your way soon. Take care, everybody.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe so you won't miss our regular programming. Forward-thinking organizations use WorkXO's culture-fueled people analytics to optimize their workforce. And they out-recruit, out-engage, and outperform their competition every single day. Learn more about our cloud-based culture management platform at www.workxo.com. Thanks again.